go through the wilderness, they were thirsty. And they saw water ahead. And when they got to the water was bitter. It was poisonous and they couldn't drink it. And they really got frustrated and discouraged. And they complained to Moses. And Moses, he didn't have the answers. But what he did was he looked to the Lord. And what the Bible says is the Lord showed him a tree. And he said, take that tree and throw it in the waters. And those bitter waters can be made whole. They can be healed, if you will. And I'll tell you, I think there's a picture there because the children of Israel at this time were a bitter people in their circumstance and situation. And the answer to our humanity is that tree. Amen? And within that song, how true it is, people, we get wrapped up so much in the time of Christmas that we don't really focus on the truth of Christmas. I heard of a story where this little girl with her mom were just so busy during the Christmas holidays, just running here and running there, doing this and doing that. And at nighttime, her mom put her to bed, and her mom said, well, maybe go ahead and say your prayers before you go to bed. And she said, Our Father, you know, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Forgive us our Christmases. And usually it's forgive us our trespasses. She says, forgive us our Christmases. The Christmases that we forsake him for something else. Amen. There's nothing wrong with family, friends, food, wonderful time. But when it becomes the primary, but in his name we do these things. Amen. It's very easy, the devil, to sidetrack us. It's not just bad things that sidetrack us. We've got to be careful of the good things. Hey, you remember Martha and Mary? You remember Martha, she was wanting to serve the Lord Jesus. She was serving the Lord. In fact, she got so elaborate in her service that she actually got an attitude. An attitude with Mary, who probably was helping out, but you know what? She got distracted by Jesus. And she got attracted to him, and she sat at his feet, and she was learning and listening. And the one that was so busy that forsaking the time with the Lord, you know, she got mad at somebody who was spending time with the Lord. And you'll remember what the Lord said, Mary, Mary, or Martha, Martha, you're so cumbered about too many things. One thing is really needful, amen? And so we all got to be very careful we don't get distracted this year, amen? Anyway, that's sermon number one. Let's go to sermon number two tonight, amen? Would you turn with me tonight to the book of Jude? Jude, if you will, is right before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude, if you would, please. Jude, it's actually just one chapter, so there are times we make mistakes. We'll say, go to Jude chapter 3, but we mean verse 3, amen? I want to thank the preacher and his wife for their hospitality today. I know that he's not been feeling well, and I thank him for the remote today so I could watch different games, football games, and Pittsburgh really got beat up today, but... Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, is that... I'm starting to get to a little shaky ground there. But anyway, thank you for your hospitality. Very, very kind of you to take care of me the way you do. Thank you for your receptiveness today, allowing me to preach the word. It's good to preach to people that enjoy it. It really is. I was telling one of our brothers as we were talking earlier, I said, you know, when people enjoy... And by the way, you don't have to roll down the aisle for me to know you enjoy it. Just a wow, or shake your head, you know, just show me your life, maybe, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody said we go to games, we go to activities, and we shout like Comanche Indians. And then we go to church and sit like wooden ones. Can I get a witness? I don't know about you, but, you know, when a person works real hard to make a meal, and then they put it out at the table, and they just watch you enjoy it, do you know what they want to do? They want to make more meals, and they want to get more, you know, they want to give you more. But you know what happened? You say, what is this? And all of a sudden, the person that made it all says, you know what? You don't appreciate it. Amen? But it's good to preach to people that enjoy it. It really is. And I thank the Lord for that. Jude, verse number 3 is what we're going to start with tonight. I want to preach a message tonight that was born out of me sitting in Sunday school at a church. I was going to preach. Brother Burton Gates, many of you may know him. He's in our city of Philadelphia. He's in the worst part of it. I mean, where Pastor Pinochetti's at is a little upper crust concerned to where Brother Burton's at. He's in what we call the Badlands, okay? Real bad. But anyway, Brother Burton, I was preaching for Brother Burton Gates, and I got there, and that Sunday school, his assistant, Brother Paul, his name is. He was doing Sunday school, and so as I'm sitting there in Sunday school, and I'm actually paying attention to what the teacher's saying, amen, which is good. But he's from down south, I believe, and he said he was speaking about somebody who got saved and was just like a dynamite Christian. And he was saying something about, you know, what did he get when he got saved? I wish I'd have got that. And I think it's a term that some people use down south a lot, like when somebody gets saved and really lives for the Lord, some people say, man, I'll tell you, I wish I got what he got. And what happened was, as he made that statement, I just began to think about that, like, okay, you got this Christian that's a dynamite Christian, and you feel that, you know, you didn't get what he got. And that just stirred me a little bit to challenge my heart to think about some things. And I thought of this verse, which leads to the message tonight. And I want you to look with me, if you would, please, in the book of Jude, and look at verse number 3. Jude says this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation..." There it is right there. That's the title of the message tonight. The common salvation. You know, that dynamite Christian didn't get a salvation that you didn't get. You understand what I'm saying? And so what I'd like to do is just take a few moments to encourage you and encourage me. There are times I look at, by the way, things ain't always what they seem to be. You know, if any man seem to be religious, there are people that seem to be religious, but really aren't. But the fact of the matter, even good godly Christians have their problems. Sometimes we look at somebody and we say, wow, I wish I were in their shoes. You don't know about what their shoes are. You, by the way, for instance, you don't know me. You don't know my situation, the totality of it all, amen. You get maybe just to see me for a few moments to preach a message, whatever, but you have no idea. Sometimes we have no idea, not only the outward circumstances of a person, but the inward circumstances of a person. What's in their mind, what's in their heart, amen? And the fact of the matter is, thank God for good, godly Christians, no doubt about it. And they ought to be an example for us, to spur us on, to say, man, I want to be like them. By the way, that's not perfection. Somebody may look perfect in your eyes, but they're still human beings. I was telling our brother here that we only know him from Adam. You know, we use the term, I don't know that guy from Adam. By the way, you may only know that guy from Adam. That's the reality of it. You understand what I'm saying? He's got the Adamic nature. He was hit by the atom bomb. We all were, amen? But then there's a second atom bomb. You spell the bomb differently. That's the healing bomb, amen? But anyway, So the fact of the matter is, somebody who's a good Christian didn't get something you didn't get. We all got the same thing. The day that we got saved, we all got the same thing. And so I want to encourage you and me that we have what somebody else has. That we may aspire to be, whether it be a person walking in shoe leather or a person that we read in the Bible. There are times, well, I wish I could be him. I wish I was there. That may not make the difference. Some would say, well, if Jesus was right here with me, that may not make the difference. Peter denied him. And he was with him, rubbed elbows with him. That may not make the difference. Amen. We have a common salvation. And let me give you some encouragements. Number one, get this, if you will. We all have the same salvation. By the way, it's the one that's by faith. If you didn't get it by faith, you don't got it. And not only is it the one that's by faith, it's the one that's for free. If you didn't get it by faith for free, then you don't got it, amen? But it's also the one that's forever. If you got it for free and you got it by faith, you got it forever. We all have the same salvation, amen? In fact, Titus calls it a common faith. Titus 1:4, we have a common faith. There's no different, by the way, there ain't no different paths to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. Rich people don't go one way, and poor people don't go another way. Everybody goes the same way. Amen? In fact, the book of James emphasizes that. When a rich person comes into the assembly, and a poor person comes into the assembly, both of them ought to rejoice. The poor in that he's been raised up, the rich in that he's been lowered down, and that there's level ground in the church. Amen? Nobody's better than another. Amen? The fact of the matter, listen, we all have the same salvation. Number two, we all have the same Savior. By the way, there's only one Savior. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior. If you got the Savior that I got, we got the same one. Amen? There's only one. In John 14, 6, there's only one truth, one way, one life, and that's the Lord Jesus. One way to the Father. Not many, not two. It is narrow, but Jesus is the only way. And by the way, we got preachers from years ago who believe this, who want to reach more people, that they come to the place where they say, well, you know, you might be able to go another way. But these are the people to make it to the Larry King show. These are the people to make to the, on the big time stage that really don't tell it straight out and straight up the truth, because they're in for what? Fame and fortune. Amen? We all have the same Savior. Who's that? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that gave his life for us. He's the one not only that died for us, he's the one that lives for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, get this. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's the Savior that we have, amen? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that lives for us. By the way, he's the one that's coming for us. We all have the same one. John 14, 1 to 3, Jesus said to the disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and for what I saw, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that, and I will come again for you, that I may receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's the one that 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 13 to 18 says, he's coming back. And don't worry about your saved loved ones that are in the ground. You're not going before them. He's raising them up. We're going together. Amen. We all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. Let me give you this thought. We all have the same Spirit. You didn't get a different Spirit than the Holy Spirit. We all get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. We talked about that this morning. In fact, I want you to turn with me for a moment. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. And by the way, if you have an understanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's about the church. And it's about God giving gifts in the church. And here's what he says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, get this now, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God may have given me a gift and an ability to do one thing. He gave you a gift and an ability to do something else. That doesn't mean I'm better. That doesn't mean you're less. It doesn't mean you're better, amen? God gives out what he wants everybody to do according to his will, amen? We all have the same Spirit. You say, which one is that? That's the one that convicted you to salvation. John chapter number 16, verses 8 to 11. Jesus said he will come, the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. You didn't get saved apart from the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. That we have that same, we have the same Spirit, the one that convicted us to salvation, the one that came into us at salvation. And the one that comforts us through salvation. He's the comforter. He's the paraclete. He's the helper. He's the encourager. We all got the same one. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Hey, we all got the same salvation. We all got the same Spirit. Let me give you another thought. We all got the same sovereign. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know, when we think about the sovereign, we think about God. We all have the same God. Amen? Look with me, if you would. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're already there. Look, if you would, in verse number 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 5 and 6. And by the way, let me throw this out for just a thought for those that may be interested. Verse 4 mentions the same Spirit. Look at verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And I think that's a reference to Jesus. Why is that? I think we see the Trinity in just these three verses. Look at the next verse, verse number 6. And there are diversities of operations, but the same what? Same God. I think he says in verse 4, we got the same Spirit. I think in verse 5, we got the same Savior. I think in verse number 6, we got the same God. You got the same family that I have. Amen? No different. Nobody's better than anybody. Amen? We all got the same. What God is that? That's the Holy One. We all got the Holy One. We all got, if you will, the worthy one. Amen? And by the way, he only is holy, the scripture says. In fact, the Lord Jesus, remember he was tempted by the devil? You remember the devil took him and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. By the way, that's why we got to be careful just giving the devil a little bit of time. He don't need a whole lot. Just give me a moment and I'll show you what I can give you is what he says.
And the Lord Jesus, was tempted by the devil. And here's what the devil said: bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You know what Jesus' response was? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Now get the next statement. And him only shalt thou serve. Do you know the devil didn't mention anything about servitude? He didn't mention servitude. He didn't say, hey Jesus, bow down, worship me, be my slave, and I'll give you everything. He left that out. By the way, he doesn't tell us what he's got to offer us everything, does he? He just says, hey, worship me, and I'll give you. He don't let you know that once you start to worship him, he's going to bind you. Many are taken captive by him at his will, but you didn't see the servitude. It's the fine print. Amen. He's the holy one. He's the only one. He's the worthy one. We all got the same one. No doubt about it. We all got the same what? Salvation. We all got the same Savior. We all got the same Spirit. We all got the same Sovereign. And let me give you another thought. We all got the same Scripture. And I'm primarily focusing on the King James Bible, but we all got the same Scripture. In fact, turn to Jude chapter 3. There it is. Jude verse 3, if you would, please. Jude verse number 3. We all got the same. We all got the same. Amen? Jude verse number 3. Are you in 1st Jude? Okay, good. You memorize 1st Jude. I'm in the second one here. 1st Jude chapter number 3. Look at verse number 3 if you would, please. What does it say? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for, what's the next statement? The faith. You know what the faith is? The body of truth that was delivered to us. That's the Scriptures right here. We all have the same Scriptures. Amen? You say, what Scriptures? By the way, in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says to Timothy that you have learned the Holy Scriptures from your youth. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Bible. The book above books. Amen? Right here. In fact, the holy book was written by holy men, or by the Holy Spirit through holy men. Everything about it is holy. You know what I noticed, preacher? Bibles that I've had over the years. Many of you have Bibles, and on the edges, usually it right used to be right here in the middle, you would have Holy Bible. Do you know what happened? What happens to your Bible when you really use it a lot? You carry it a lot and you use it a lot. All of a sudden, the Holy Bible's gone. You ever notice that? Where'd it go? The holiness of the book went on to you. You think about that. I had a Bible and had a Holy Bible right here, and I used it forever. And one day I looked and I said, the Holy Bible's gone. What happened to it? It went on me. The more I use this holy book, the more of its holiness will do something on my heart and in my life. Amen? We all have the same Scripture. Which ones are they? They're the ones that were revealed by God. They're the ones that are inspired by God. They're the ones that are preserved by God. You see, they're God-given, they're God-guarded, and they're God-guided. You and I have the same, amen? And that's the wonderful thing. We got the same salvation, the same Savior, the same Spirit, the same Sovereign, the same Scriptures, but we also have the same struggle. 1 Corinthians, don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common. It may not be the exact thing, but it's a struggle. Amen. We all have the same. Well, if I would be a better Christian. I would be a better Christian like that person if I had their situation. You don't know the struggles they're going through. Everybody you see doesn't tell you everything they feel and everything they go through. Everybody puts on their Sunday best. Can I get a witness? And there are people that say, I wish you have no idea. You can't get in their shoes. You can't get in the totality of their shoes. Amen? Just as unique you are, your circumstances, situation, and one thing we know, they're trials. We know that they're going through something. If they're good, godly Christians, they're going through something. Because we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Amen? No doubt about it. We all got the same struggles. You say, where does that come from? We all got the same enemies. We're all trying to battle the flesh. Amen. You got some people try to act so pious. Well, I don't have much trouble with my flesh. Well, what kind of flesh do you have? You're going to have trouble with your flesh until it's gone. Until you're glorified. When we get glorified bodies, we'll have no trouble with our flesh. Amen. We're all battling the same flesh. We're all battling the same devil. We're all battling the world. Amen. We're all in the same thing. Amen. Same kind of struggle. Amen. No doubt about it. By the way, that's an encouragement. A person that you consider a good, godly Christian, you got the same thing that they got. That's an encouragement. But here's the challenge. We all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. We all have the same Spirit. We all have the same Sovereign. We all have the same Scripture. We all have the same struggles in great measure. But why is it that we don't all have the same success? See, the encouragement is, I got everything they got. The answer is not, we got something that they didn't get. Although we all get the same thing, we don't all give the same thing. Can I get a witness? The problem is that person may be a better Christian than I am, because not because they got more than me, but because they're giving more than me. Amen. Let me give you some thoughts. Turn, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Every point that I mentioned, we could have turned to a verse, but I don't want to do that tonight. I want to lay it out plain and simple for you tonight. Amen? We all have the same thing. We all get the same thing. But some of us are not as successful as others because we're not given the same thing. Amen? And I'll tell you, I may be comforted to know that I have everything they have, but I'm challenged. I'm challenged. Amen? And we ought to all be. Amen? By the way, good Christians ought to challenge us. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Don't get mad at a good Christian. Be challenged by a good Christian to grow ourselves. Amen? Would you look with me for a moment in Philippians chapter number 2? Philippians chapter number 2. Why is it that some have more success than we do? I'm going to give you three thoughts that I think may be a challenge to us. Philippians chapter number 2. Successful Christians are those that work harder at it. They work harder. Amen. They work harder. Do you know that we get salvation for free? But we got to work at it to really use it. By the way, do you know that the preacher is God's gift, Jesus' gift to the church? That's what the Ephesians says. Do you know? Let me put it this way. The church is Jesus. It's God's gift to us. But, like many gifts, assembly required. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you want to take advantage of the gift that God gave you in the church, you got to assemble. Amen. But there are people that want to be what somebody else is, but they don't want to get up early on Sunday morning to get to the church that helped make them what they are. Amen. You remember how the Lord sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house so he could see what was going on in the potter's house, how the potter had a broken vessel, a crack pot, and how he molded it and made it and reshaped it and made it everything that it was not. It was the hands of the potter that did the wonderful work to make it what it was could never be on its own. And in great measure, God's house is the potter's house. And the holy hands of heaven come down to us broken vessels. We crawl in sometimes cracked, but he gets his hands on us by his word and spirit and does a work in us, making us and shaping us. Amen. But if we don't assemble to let him do what's work in us, we'll never become what somebody else is. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, Paul said to the Philippians, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. See, Paul was in jail. And he knew these people were obedient to the Lord when he was there. But he said, hey, I'm not there. Still be obedient to the Lord. By the one, the one way is hypocrisy. You're doing something for the sake of the leader that's in front of you. The other one's sincerity, just doing it for the Lord, amen? But watch what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation because we can't do that. Jesus' work did that. But the salvation we get, we have to work at it. We have to work hard at it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, give somebody a house that's halfway done and say, hey, you work to finish it. If they're lazy, it's going to stay in shambles. But if they want to make it beautiful, they got to get to work. And I know, God, we sang that song, he made something beautiful of my life. Listen, he wants you to get involved on it. We got to get in the program, amen? Work out. Work out. Just the thought of working out scares me. You know what working out entails? Exercise. Watch what Paul said. Herein I exercise myself. Acts 24:16. Herein I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Do you know what Paul's saying? I'm forever trying to keep right with God and keep right with others. It's a work to do that. You know what he said? Exercise yourself unto godliness. If you want to become godly, you got to do the things that make for godliness. Reading, praying, faithfulness, all of these help you to get there. Some men look at other men with the big arms, the big muscles. So I wish I had that. I'd like to look like him. Well, you're going to have to go to the gym and work out. That just don't come because you want it. Amen? I can't use myself as an example or illustration there. I'd like to, but... Turn to 2 Peter, please. You see, I can be more and I can be better. But I have to put into it. I have to exercise. I have to work out. Listen, it's got something to do with me. Being saved has everything to do with Jesus. Being what I ought to be, we depend on God, but we do what he says to do. To pray and ask him to open your eyes to the scriptures and not to read it ain't happening. Amen? There is a part we have to do. 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you would please. 2 Peter is right before 1 Jude. Some of you will get that, amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, would you look at verse number 5, please? And beside this, beside what? Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them have obtained like precious faith. Get that? There's a common faith, right? Like precious faith. He's speaking to those that are saved. They've obtained like precious faith. Here's what he says in verse 5. And beside this, beside saving faith, beside just being saved, watch this, watch what he says. Giving all diligence. Boy, you see those words? Oh, boy, they hurt me. They bother me. You know what giving all diligence means? Give it everything you got. Give it everything you got. That's what he's saying. He's not talking about salvation. You already have the faith. But here's what he says. Look at verse number 5. Giving all diligence, what? Add to your faith. He goes on to say virtue and knowledge and godliness and charity. Add to your faith. God saves you and says now work at adding to it. You know what adding to your faith is called? It's called growth. Hebrews 6 says let us go on unto perfection, maturity, growth. Amen. Boy, I am responsible. I am responsible to do my part. Amen. We all are, aren't we? See, successful Christians, they work harder. They work harder. But here's another thing I think about successful Christians. They walk closer. They walk closer. See, they are what they are by the grace of God. They are what they are because they stay close enough to God to get the strength from him to do it. We read it earlier in John 15. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you disciples, you're the branches. Abide in me. Without me, you can't be fruitful. Without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me means stay close. Stay close to Jesus. Good Christians are those who walk with the Lord. Hey, do you know what made Noah different in his generation? Noah was one of the only righteous. He was the one that found grace in God's eye. What made Noah different? He walked with God. He lived in an ungodly society, yet he still walked for God because he walked with God. Elijah was another one of those men who he said to Ahab, there's not going to come rain until my word says it. He says, by the way, he stood before God. Elijah was a man who stood before God. He walked with God. And he had power to shut up heaven and power to call fire down and power to call rain down. But here's the wonderful truth about Elijah. He was a man of like passions as us. Amen. He was a man. And the encouragement in James is, hey, Elijah was like you and me. He had the same stuff. You want to read chapter 19 of 1 Kings? You can read him running and saying, God, take me. Discouraged, defeated, same as us. We can be human and yet have the power and blessing of God. Amen. But we got to walk with God. We got to walk close with the Lord. Amen. Paul the Apostle in Acts 14 saw a man in Lystra who was lame from his feet and couldn't walk. But Paul perceived he had faith and told him to stand up. And this man stood up and walked. People said, my goodness, the gods have come down. And they began to seek to worship Paul. And Paul said, no. We are men of like passions as you are. We ain't no different. I'll tell you one thing about Paul. He walked with God. He walked with God. These men were the same as us in our humanity. But are we the same as them in their spirituality? Amen. That's the challenge. Why is it that some people are more successful than us? They don't got something different. They just give something different. It seems that successful Christians are those that work harder, are those that walk closer. And then the third thought, and I'll close with this one. Successful Christians are those that seem to war better. They war better. They put up a good fight. Can I get a witness on that one? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm getting done early tonight so the preacher can go home and recuperate. Amen. And I was not threatened by anybody. Amen. Another reason I'm trying to get done early, too, is I got an apple pie in my van. I didn't realize the preacher could bake so well. Oh, my. I got a lot of amens on that one. Praise the Lord for that. It was wonderful. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Listen, they wore better. Boy, if we want to be better Christians, we're going to have to work harder, aren't we? We're going to work harder. We're going to have to walk closer. I'll tell you, we got the devil's ever trying to put a wedge between us and God. He's trying to pull us away from the Lord, amen? Because he knows what the Lord can do if we'll just get close to God. Let me throw this in there if I can. In the book of James, chapter number 4, the Lord Jesus, or not the Lord Jesus, but James, the Holy Spirit filled James to write. James 4 really is focusing on backsliders. Believers who are gone into the world. And he says, you love the world, you're an enemy of God. But here's what he says. Basically, come back to the Lord. That's what he does. Isn't it wonderful that God reaches out to us as his people when we get away from him? And he says, come back. In fact, you recall the verse that says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That, in the book of James 4, that is Jesus, God, calling his people who've gotten sucked into the world. Come back! Come back! But here's what I want you to notice. In that very context, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. What's the next statement in James 4:7? Resist the devil. The context of him telling people resist the devil is in the context of saying come back. Why? Because the devil's got backsliders where they are and he's content. But he starts to see you coming back, he's going to try to jump in the way and keep you from coming back to God. I know, amen? Successful Christians, they work harder, they walk closer, and they war better. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, get the next statement, mightest war a good warfare. Let me tell you something, folks. If we are going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to have to put up a good fight. We're going to have to put up a good fight. Sometimes we're going to get knocked down, but we got to get back up. Peter told the Lord, I'm ready to fight for you, Lord. I'm ready to go to prison for you, Lord. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. And the Lord said, you're going to deny you even know me. But here's what he said. I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. It's one thing for you to be down. It's another thing for your faith to be down. Because your faith is the only thing that's going to get you back up and back to the Lord. And if that's down, you're in trouble. Amen? We need to put up a good fight. Even when we get knocked down. By the way, Paul said many times he was knocked down but not knocked out. Amen? We need to put up a good fight. Paul was a great example of a good fighter. By the way, let me say this. Ephesians 6:13, as he talks about the armor and the spiritual warfare that every Christian gets into, here's what he says. We need to do all that we can do to stand in this evil day. Being a good fighter is giving everything you got and doing everything you can to do right. Amen? I think it was Billy Sunday. He said when the devil knocked his teeth out, he would start gumming them. Amen? But he had a desire to live for God. And he said, no matter what the devil throws, I'm going to keep on going. Amen? One of the greatest examples of a man who fought. And by the way, Paul the Apostle was a fighter. Turn to 2 Timothy. We're right in the neighborhood. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you would, please. Chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We got to put up a better fight. We do, amen? We got to put up a better fight. By the way, when we're putting up the fight, we got to think more than for ourselves. You know what Nehemiah told the men that were building the walls? He said, fight for yourselves, fight for your wives, fight for your children. See, our fight is not just for ourselves. Our fight is for our loved ones. You see, the devil can't come in and take somebody from your house until he first binds a strong man. And that's exactly what he does. Amen? We got a reason to fight, especially those of us that are leaders, more than just for ourselves, for our loved ones. Amen? He gets us, he got them. We don't want that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 6, if you would please. Paul said this, for now I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Look what he says. I have fought a good fight. I finished the course, my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul put up a good fight. Amen? You and I, every saved person, the best Christian you can think of, we all got the same thing from the Lord. But are we doing the same thing with it? Most likely not. Amen? May God help us to work harder, to walk closer, and to war better, and to put up a better fight. Amen? Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank and praise you for this evening. Thank you for just a little time where we can gather together. And in the first part, be encouraged. Dynamite Christians don't have anything more than me. The day we get saved, we all get the same. But we are challenged. Though encouraged, we are challenged. Many Christians are better because they're working harder at it. They may be in the book more. They may be on their knees more. Whatever it is, we know they're doing. They're adding to their faith. They're doing things. They're working hard. They're diligent. They're also walking closer. They're probably not letting sins come between them and you that hinder your help. And they're also warring better. They're fighting better. They're probably putting up a better fight with the flesh, not just simply giving in so easy. probably putting up a better fight with the world, not just simply giving in easy, and definitely putting up a better fight to the devil. By the way, I think if we resist the devil, if we put up a good enough fight, he will flee from us for a time period at least, as we've been told. Dear God, would you work in our hearts tonight, maybe to get encouraged, to get challenged, to recommit, whatever it is we need. You know what we need. Spirit of God, do a work, please. Let us not leave this place without deciding some things in our minds and hearts to be better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.